Are you ready for the game coming up on Sunday? According to what Lima just looked at, you're not. Was there more fever over watching the quarterbacks than there will be for the game on Sunday?
Well, I do think you had some huge college football matchups for sure. So
yeah, but you understand what I'm asking, because I think there were plenty of people who are Browns fans who are not going to sit there and watch LSU, Clemson. And maybe they would. Maybe it was week one of the college football season. But I think a lot of them, maybe they're not watching it as closely, or maybe it's on in the background and they're doing whatever. I know there were a lot of fantasy football drafts and things like that. But man, it seemed everything that you know, Arch Manning's a different animal. And we'll get more into that coming up in a bit. But Carson Beck, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenoris Sellers, Fernando Mendoza for that reason. Now I'm getting a bunch of tweets about Drew Aller and why did I leave him off the list. And I told you guys why I left him off the list. I think that's a hell of a lot of pressure. He's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to be very, very, very good against very big talent for me to think that he's going to be able to withstand the pressure of being the Browns quarterback when he's from here. It's a lot to put on a young man. And so you got to show me that you are willing to pay that fiddler and you're willing to stare that down and be able to go out and play well. That's why, like, the Cade Klubnik stuff, I only mentioned him as a name that people are mentioning. No, absolutely not. He is day two, day three Quinn Ewers territory, but that's a different conversation. But we're watching these quarterbacks. I think there was more fever over watching those QBs in college than there is over this game coming up against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely weird for a Browns home opener to see tickets available at face from the Browns, like, and them sending out emails, and you go to the website, browns.com, and it's that huge banner that's taken up like a fourth of the screen up top. Click to get your home opener ticket. I've never seen that. I've never seen that for a Browns home opener. So this is, I think people are on the same page that this season is a little bit different from most seasons. Now that doesn't mean that if they don't win the opener, that changes immediately. Obviously, if they come out and beat Joe Burrow again, like they've done five of the eight times they've gone up against him, then I think people will get fired up. But I do think people are like, you got to show me. You got to actually show me you guys are trying to win this year.
Well, because I think a lot of people, I think they're already moving on, and I don't know how many people actually want them to. I wonder how many people, like, for a multitude of reasons. I mean, anytime we throw it out there, you get guys who call in and they say they do not like the current brain trust of the Cleveland Browns. And they believe that losing is better for everybody. That if they go out and lose, they'll get rid of the brain trust. We get a better quarterback. It's a win-win for them. Now, I don't want to go that far because I hate looking for new head coaches and hate looking for new general managers because it's not fun. Quarterbacks are fun to talk about on the radio. They are a blast to talk about it when you're with your buddies. Doesn't matter if you're on the radio at a bar. You could be at a church. It's fun to talk about quarterbacks. Looking for coaches and general managers, that sucks. It's boring. You got to hit the phones. It's terrible. I hate it. But I think that there are plenty of people out there going, if they win, you'll get their attention. They'll get their emotions. But if they don't win, if they go out there and they do what they did against Dallas last year, I think a lot of people are going to go, all right, let's see what Dylan Gabriel has. Let's see what the other kid has. Let's see where we go from here. And I'm going to be watching Ohio State, and I'm going to be watching all the other teams that I'm paying attention to. I think a lot of people are like that this year.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be saying Dylan Gabriel first. I think they'll be saying Shador first.
Shador Sanders probably first. More on that coming up here in chat around 7:22, by the way.
But it is weird because we just played a promo, I think maybe a segment ago, from the afternoon show, talking about what this season's all about. And I think it's been very hard for a lot of Browns fans to kind of figure out what is it like off the top, what rolls off the tongue. This season is about this. And I think for most people, I mean, when you start a 40-year-old quarterback, and I know Pittsburgh's dealing with the same thing, but you know, their guy has the star power, at least he did. I mean, you're starting Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco wasn't particularly good last year for a different team. So, yeah, we're hoping to recapture the magic of a stretch run from a couple of years ago where you went to the playoffs. But, you know, you're starting to see the turnover on the roster, that it kind of a two-year thing. Last year, you know, you're down a lot of the big names from the playoff runs that this team, this organization had. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting on to the next, but you still have your offensive linemen. You still have Myles Garrett. You still have Denzel Ward. You still have Njoku. You know, will Njoku be here next year? They drafted his replacement. Offensive line, they're in the process of transitioning. So can they still win games when you've kind of got two different timelines represented on this football team? Got a lot of young guys. Mm-hmm. Of course, two of them are quarterbacks who are not playing. One of them's a running back who we're hoping to find out some new details on and whether he's going to be available soon. But that's why I think a lot of fans may be at arm's length right now, this football team, until they prove otherwise.
I think you're right with a lot of people. Like, I'm not picking up the usual fever that we've experienced here, because like even when they had, even when, like, okay, Deshaun's healthy, and I know a lot of people didn't like him. When Deshaun was healthy, it's like, all right, maybe he's able to turn it up. Maybe this year he's able to get it going. After the year that he had the injury, you remember what had happened, where it's like, all right, maybe we can get this thing going in the right direction. He was very good in certain spurts during the beginning of the season last year before the injury. Maybe he'll be good the entire year this year. You know, there was that thought there. When Baker was here, you know, coming off of 2019, I think 2019, it was kind of like, well, what are you going to do? Plus, we were all distracted by everything else that was going on in the world, getting ready for 2020, that kind of took it away. And it was a fun experience for everybody, because I don't think people anticipated them going to the playoffs. I think they just wanted Baker to play a lot better than what he was. And then after that, yeah, there was that expectation. But this is the first time I can remember in a long time. This feels more 2016, 2017 to me, where it's like, hey, you know, they'll be there on Sunday. I think they'll be there on Sunday. I know that you've noticed some things over there on the internet where people might be putting tickets up for sale or staying home or whatever it might be. I think they'll be there on Sunday, and I think they'll whoop it up because it's tradition. But I think a lot of people are paying attention to 2026, and I don't begrudge those people. I don't begrudge them. Our own owner is going to these football games. Why is he going to these football games? Everybody knows why he's going to these games. And I don't begrudge him for doing that. So if our own owner's going there,
and he didn't exactly,
and everybody else is going to these games,
he didn't exactly hide it.
Yeah. So
it's all over.
And I think that's like, hey, if they can win, great. I don't think they're doing what 2016 and 17 dictated, where it's like, hey, let's go out here and do this. But when you have two first-round picks next year, I think it's apparent to everybody that they're trying to figure out who might be worth their pick if they have to pick number one or number two, or who might be really worth it where they might have to trade up and use both those first round picks on one of these guys. And I just think that's being pure and simple, honest with yourself and with your fan base about where this football team's going to be.
But you brought up the 2016, like around that time. The difference was those teams had no talent. This team has talent.
Mm-hmm.
They're holdovers, right? They're the veterans, but I mean, Myles Garrett, I saw NFL.com finally had their top 10 list, like they had been teasing
the
it every
single 100 week. From the, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Myles Garrett was the top defensive player, again. Like,
what number was he overall, do we remember?
You know what? I got it right.
Probably the first after the quarterback, because ESPN, he was the first after the quarterback.
Yeah.
He was like he was the best non-quarterback player in the NFL. Yeah, they got talent.
They had him eighth.
Okay, they had him eighth.
He's so a weird list.
Probably some wide receivers ahead of him and stuff like that.
Saquon Barkley, number one.
I could see that.
No, I don't. I can't see it.
I think
we can do that.
Isn't
later.
That the other one? Wait a minute. Isn't that the other players?
Well, he has
who does the top 100? Isn't that from players? They have a lot of respect for guys who aren't quarterbacks. Yeah. When you get all the players involved, like quarterbacks, you have to be pretty undeniable. And for them to win the Super Bowl, that's the only. I don't mean to bog it down.
No,
with you
on that. That's fine.
But that's the only reason I see it from it. And I could understand where it's like, hey, in the real world, you take the quarterback over everybody else. I totally agree with you on that. But for this team, no, I don't think it's the same as it was in 2016-17 as far as them as an organization. It can't be. The only way it could have been is if you would have traded Myles Garrett and gotten two firsts or anything like that. It's not that same way. But I think a lot of folks are going into it going, hey, you know what? You're going to have to show me on Sunday. I think you're going to have to show me on Sunday. You got two rookie QBs back there. You know people want to see either one of them, one in particular. You got a bunch of draft picks for next year. I believe you have 10. We know why you have those, especially two of those in particular. So you're going to have to go out there and show me on Sunday against Cincinnati, because we all got worked up about last year. We all got excited for last year, and they went out there and they laid a colossal egg in week one, and then it never really got any better because the team they beat in week two sucked too in Jacksonville. And they ended up a 3-win team. And remember, at the end of the year, you know, 3-14, and we all like to say, well, were they as bad as 3-14? Because they weren't really trying to win. Okay, well, you're telling me you're not really trying to win there. So now where am I giving my emotions to? And it's not that people aren't Browns fans anymore. They're Browns fans. But notice what they're doing. They're preparing for the future. They're watching college football on Saturday. They took in all these games. You had, I guarantee you had guys at fantasy drafts, hardcore Browns fans, arguing over the type of game that maybe Arch Manning had or maybe Julian Sain had, but really giving these arguments about what they saw on Saturday night with LSU and with Clemson and with Penn State and with everybody. They're watching these games for specific reasons. They are preparing. The fans are preparing for 2026. You got to give them a reason to be emotionally involved in 2025, and the only way you can do that is by winning football games and winning on Sunday. Against Cincinnati.
Up to them.
216-474-0092. Is that your feeling right now with the Browns? Are you wait and see when it comes to the Browns about this year? Are you already preparing for 2026? Because looks like the owner is, feels like the owner is, feels like the front office already is, and we're getting ready for a football game coming up on Sunday. I think there are a lot of people watching going, okay, I like that guy. We got 10 picks, this, that, and the other. I think there were a lot of people doing that because I just think that a lot of folks are going, you know, I was talking to a guy on a sideline or for Friday Night Touchdown, we were at the Highland game. And he goes, hey, how many do you think they're going to win? Be honest. And I go, it's the same thing I see on the air. I said six. He goes, oh, come on. They're going to be better than that. I go, it's amazing because I got a lot of people who call me a homer and an idiot when I say six wins. So that's like the one guy I found who was like, come on, they're going to be better than that. I was like, I hope that they are. But I don't anticipate it because of how everything's kind of set up. And I think a lot of fans are kind of going on that side where even if I say six wins, I go, okay, Kenny, carry more water for Kevin. Carry more water for the Browns. I'm like, six wins is carrying water? That's not a very high bar, guys.
I understand what the guy tweeting you is saying. Like
talking about Brad here.
Yeah.
Okay,
That, you know, what are you going to be doing, scouting reports on these guys? No, it's just, I think we always envision who's next, who's going to be the guy that is going to save the Browns. It's most likely going to be a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality. We thought it was Baker until many of us didn't think it was Baker. So who's going to be the guy? Is that guy likely in college right now? My response would be yes. I would have to bet that you got a better chance of that being a guy that's, you know, playing on Saturdays.
So we are live on YouTube right now. And what I'm going to do is I'm shutting off the computer. You guys can see me right now. I'm shutting it off. Because what Lime is about to say is probably going to get a strong reaction out of people. Go ahead, Tone.
But I don't think it's that controversial. That's the thing. I think most people are going to be in my camp and agree with me on this.
216-474-0092. Go right ahead and call.
What I saw over the weekend, seeing the Shedeur Sanders people make everything about themselves was just unbelievable.
About themselves.
About Shedeur Sanders. No. At no point was I watching Arch Manning on Saturday get his ass kicked by Matt Patricia and the Ohio State defense. At no point was I thinking about Shedeur Sanders. And yet, I turned on social media, went to my phone, said, How? What does this have to do with the third string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? I was amazed. Was I missing something? Like, we did talk, you know, over the last year that when we were saying nice things about Shedeur Sanders, we were like, hey, if you're saying nepotism, why does nepotism work for Arch Manning? Like, we called that out. But now when the games are actually going on, like, and it's up to Arch Manning and it's up to Texas and it's up to these other quarterbacks at these other schools that we mentioned in the first hour of the show, why was Shedeur Sanders' name being compared at all times? Like, Shedeur Sanders is in the NFL now. Nothing that I was watching with Texas and Arch Manning had anything to do with whether or not Shedeur Sanders is going to succeed. But I saw a bunch of Shedeur fans who, there's nothing to argue with Shedeur right now. He's not playing. Is he even the practice squad quarterback? Like, what is he? Is he the emergency quarterback? I know the Browns signed Bailey Zappe. They made that official last week. Is he still on the team? Like, he's just one of the guys that's going to be backing up Joe Flacco, and he's way down on the pecking order. So why did that have anything to do with what I was watching on Saturday trying to size up potential future Browns quarterbacks?
Well, because I think you're being a little naive there. I really do. I can see exactly why people are drawing a conclusion to that. You're going to see a lot of Shedeur things because he plays for the Cleveland Browns, or at least he's on the roster. If Bailey Zappe plays before him, I'm going to go nuts, by the way. But he's on the Browns roster. So he's a member of this football team, and you cover the Cleveland Browns. And there's been so many things. Again, you said at the very beginning of this that so much of the, well, Shador's nepotism. Shador's this because of his father. Okay, but people are thinking the same thing with Arch Manning. And there were a lot of folks waiting to see, because this guy has been propped up as he is the next big thing by all of us. And I go, man, there's got to be so many different people out there that say what they see is going to be a great football player that I have to take their word for it. And then he went out there and he struggled. Now, you could say, and I would agree with you, if you went, yeah, it's against Ohio State, there's 105,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
And they're all pulling against you.
By the way, Shador sucked against the best competition in college football.
This is a start against the very, very, very best. And I think for an Ohio State fan, you should feel really good about yourself, and that coming up again later. But I think with it, when it came to Arch Manning, I don't know how anybody couldn't draw the conclusion to it, or couldn't draw parallels, I should say, between Arch Manning and Shador Sanders, and the people who are Shador Sanders fans going, wait a minute, why aren't you guys all saying this about this
guy?
Does he look like he's ready to go?
A guy in his third start, we were comparing to somebody who had started for how many years did Shador start?
He played started for 2 years at Jackson State.
And then, so we're comparing a guy in his third start to a four-year starter. I don't understand. No, that maybe I'm naive then. I don't see the parallels at all.
I think they're going to do
compare Shador to,
because they'll say that you didn't give Shador any time. They're not going to give Arch Manning any time.
Wait, me and you gave Shador 4 years and we're electrified
certainly,
by
certainly, but so, I'm not arguing with you. I'm saying what they're saying.
So, but what does, I have no idea. Someone's going to have to explain to me. Shador, people could call up. Why are you comparing Shador, who is, again, third string quarterback, only because they made a trade, would have been the fourth string quarterback, on one of the worst teams in football? Why are we talking about him in the same sentence as somebody who just played their third game as a started their third game in college?
That's the only thing that they can go on, and they're going to go in real time.
Man, you guys are going to be miserable then.
You guys are going
to be even more miserable than you already are.
That's what it is.
And again,
yes.
I'm not talking to the people who are like, hey, yeah, maybe Shador is a year away. Maybe we just have to come to grips that Shador is a year away. I'm not saying Shador has no chance in the NFL. I think it's going to be an uphill battle now because, I mean, come on. The guy that probably picked, well, we know because he was with Andrew Berry, but either Jimmy Haslam, whoever you think picked Shador Sanders, they were out there first chance they got to scout the next guy. That's going to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
And I think it bothers those folks.
So, okay, that's fine. That's fine. But you got to remember, there were 31 other teams that seemed to have no interest taking Shador Sanders. This is the team that actually wanted him.
This is where I'm in a bad spot here, because I see, Tone, I know we argued and bickered about something earlier, and it was really, we were arguing two different things. And I don't want that to play into this with me or you. I see your point. I really do. I know that there's a guy who's played 4 years of college football and now he plays in the NFL, and there's a guy who's on his third start. I get all that. But these are people that are fighting for their player, and they're in internet fights every single day for their player, and what they see is something that they don't believe is fair. And they believe that Arch Manning gets unnecessary boost just by who his father's, by who his father's brothers are and who his grandfather is, by who his uncles are and who his grandfather is. And then the other one gets unnecessarily torn down by who his father is. Or the other side thinks he's unnecessarily propped up, which what it is, what it probably will be. I'm sure Arch Manning after this game will go on and have a fine enough career and will go on and have a fine enough season. I'm sure he'll play in other big games because he plays for Texas and they're in the SEC. And I'm sure he'll start to write some of the things that he got messed up on Saturday against Ohio State, where Shador doesn't get that chance because he's probably not going to play until November. If he gets to play.
But compare him to one of the guys that transferred and is finishing up his last year, Carson Beck. Compare Shador to Carson Beck.
Now, I'm not a big Carson Beck fan.
But don't compare him to a guy in his third start and then say, well, Shador, see, you guys, the media, the media was brutal on Arch Manning. That was like one of the most humiliating reactions I've ever seen.
I thought there was a wild overcorrection on the Arch Manning stuff.
Holy cow.
I was like, okay, you guys, it's not like he doesn't have arms anymore.
You couldn't go anywhere without people saying what a fraud he was. So I don't remember. I mean, look, Shador Sanders, I thought, caught a lot of, let's just say, some unfair stuff because people just didn't like his dad. Oh, whatever. Me and you, we defended Shador. But to go out there yesterday and make, or over the weekend, and make all of that with Arch Manning.
But I think
about Shador and how unfair he's been treated.
And what really annoys you, I think, is that you've been trying to be fair this entire time. And you are treated as if you are not being fair to him. I think you've read a lot of the tweets of a lot of the people who are trying to get their own likes and retweets and trying to pay their rent with their check marks at the end of the
month.
It
was fun being called a bigot over the weekend. That was fun.
I'm like, I think that
me, the guy that wanted Deshaun Watson. Yes, yes. I guess I'm the bigot football
fan.
Well,
that's. I think it's coming from that. I think that you're tired of being told that you're a bad guy for trying to be fair about Shedeur Sanders. I don't think you're a bad guy. I think you've been
considerably that's
pro. I think you've been considerably pro Shedeur Sanders, but you've also been pro reality. And the reality of it is this, is that if anybody's been wrong on at this table with these two guys, it's been me. Because I still will put Shedeur number two on my depth chart because I want to see Shedeur before I see
too.
Dylan Gabriel. Because I am thinking long term. I am thinking long term. I went back and watched Rice in Louisiana yesterday because I'm trying to find guys that maybe the Browns could draft. Because I go, well, you know, Mike Bloomgren, there's definitely going to be some guys that are left over at Rice, and maybe they like some guys. I go, it is Monday afternoon, and you are watching Rice in Louisiana. That's what I'm doing. So I think long term, you try to be fair, and everybody's saying you're being difficult, or you're being all these other words that you know that you're not.
But
you can't let those folks get in the way of what your analysis is of Shedeur. Because you and I both know he'll eventually play at some point this year, and I don't want you to turn into somebody who starts to have arguments with people on the internet that's not real, and then turn that into you wanting Shedeur to fail. Because you and I have both liked Shedeur, and I can't help it that some goofballs over in Colorado, oh, they catch snippets of Tone and Ken, and they're mad at Tone and Ken for just trying to be fair to Shedeur Sanders.
But I just want to hear from any of these people that I am referencing, like, can you just maybe step back and say, man, our quarterback got drafted by the team that is the most quarterback starved in all of football for 30 years. And then he went there and his coach says he's not ready. They leak to the reporters he's not ready. They don't give him any of the first team reps, even though the other young guy did. And then they didn't even let him finish out a drive at the end for a guy that's not even going to be on the football team.
And I thought that was wrong. Did you think that was wrong?
Yes, of
course it was
wrong. Okay,
at least we both thought that was wrong.
But can they tell you any more clearly that he's not ready and maybe he's a year away? Maybe he's 2 years away.
Yeah.
Can you just maybe be honest about it?
It's not.
Is it possible for Shedeur Sanders fan to just be honest?
But it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns.
But you know
why? You're seeing in real time what everybody thinks of the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shedeur fans, you wackos who have been tweeting all weekend, making every other game about themselves, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it. I'm sorry.
I'm often accused of being the guy who's on the internet way too much out of us two. I did not see any of this. Of course, I was busy. I didn't see any of this. I had a feeling that it was going to go that way after Arch Manning played badly on Saturday. I'm glad I was right about that, but Tone, I swear to God, I didn't see. I thought for a second that the Ryan Day stuff with the pierced nip might be real, which that coming up later on as well.
And furthermore, maybe we can just be honest too. That, and I didn't want to believe this at the time because I didn't like the leaks that were coming out about Shedeur, and I'm like, some of this seems like this is unbecoming of NFL teams to leak some of this stuff out, but maybe. The Sanders crew botched the entire draft lead up. Maybe they just did. Maybe it's possible.
Well,
maybe them refusing to meet with some teams. Maybe them carrying themselves a certain way. Maybe it's something to learn from. That doesn't mean it's over.
What do you mean by
for,
carried themselves a certain way?
Well, all the reporting that had come out that they were being very picky and choosy about where they... And by the way, it's becoming the norm because Caleb Williams apparently did the same thing. Whatever. Maybe that wasn't the smartest thing to do. Maybe if they had the ability to revise that,
Caleb
they would have done
is
something
be number
different.
One, no matter what.
Sure.
Like there's guys that you can't deny.
Sure, but I'm just saying because the reports were that the dad, you know, was being very careful about all that. We know for a fact some of the Sanders team stuff, not necessarily just Sanders, it turned off some NFL teams, and maybe that's why he slipped from first or second round all the way down to five.
I also know that you like Shedeur. And he's eventually going to get to play, and I don't want that to permeate and turn personal, because even though there's been guys I didn't like personally, and I've wanted them to do well. I certainly like Shedeur Sanders. I've only spoken to him once.
And I love I love the fact that Shador is not the one chirping, but all these fans feel like they have to do it for him. And I love the fact we're not hearing from Shador. We're not hearing from Dion.
You're not in real.
At no point did Shador do that stuff.
But the internet here, the computer, this screen right in front of me that is still dark. I wish I could show you guys on YouTube. It's still dark. That's not real. You know what real is? It's that Jimmy was at the Ohio State game on Saturday, and then he was at Clemson LSU. It's that these guys are going to be at more games. That's what's real. And if he does get the chance to play this year, then he has a very short amount of time to change their mind. And he probably isn't going to have enough time to change their mind. And you and I have to deal with the very realistic point of view where this is exactly what everybody else thinks of the Cleveland Browns outside, that they are neither not good or they are somehow used as patsies for the rest of the NFL. Like when Eric Dickerson says that there's conspiracy afoot, you and I, you got
to
deal with
that.
Tom,
what does it say to the Shador fans that the smart teams, the good organizations, wanted nothing to do with your boy?
Then Tone, that's something that they're going to have to rectify themselves.
Nothing. They passed on them, passed on them, passed on them.
But the ones that are not Browns fans and are only dropping in because they're Shador fans, they're the ones that are going to have to rectify that and hope that he gets a chance sooner than later and he can change people's minds and can be absolutely undeniable. Because right now, the odds are against him. He's third on the team. That means that he will not play before Dylan Gabriel, whether I like it or not, because I'm just curious. Whether I like it or not, he will not play before Dylan Gabriel. And if Dylan Gabriel conducts the offense and conducts himself decently, Dylan Gabriel will continue to play, and then they'll still draft a guy number one next year. And you will never get to see it, and then you'll just rip on the Browns. And then the next team he gets a chance with, because I would assume he gets a chance after next year with somebody else, well, then it's going to be up to them. But if he's not good, even the strongest Shador fans are going to have to come to terms with that. And it's up to them if they do or don't, because at that time, I'll have quarterback X out of this draft, and I will have moved on. That's why, Tone, of the things I've disagreed with you, I've always said, you guys act like this is our first rodeo. I got some idiot still espousing how bad the Browns are who used to play for the Cleveland Browns, and apparently I have to drop everything and play his audio coming up here later on. Tone wants it all, babe.
They'll come to grips. They will. They'll understand.
Who?
The Shador fans, right?
That's up to them, man. I can't tell them to come to grips. You can tell them to come to grips. I'm not telling people to come to grips. I'm just reading the replies of why I'm not mentioning Drew Aller yet. Drew Aller has his chance coming up on November 1st at Ohio Stadium. Drew Aller will have his chance. I will get to that coming up again later on. 216-474-0092. Are you annoyed by Shador? It's like Lima is fit to be tied. I didn't realize you were sitting on this all weekend. Yeah, like it seems Saturday afternoon, you got yourself in a good, strong lather. And you've been waiting to pounce for 2 days, and here you are. I would have done this at six had I known you were that.
What time did this hit you?
I remember, I did not watch Ohio State live.
Right.
Because I was doing the Kent State game. So I got home, and my For You page was all Rippy Arch, right? But it wasn't just Shador. It was everybody, all the fans of college football were just having fun. It was funny. There was a lot of funny stuff. Especially because fans do not like to be told, hey, this guy, we're anointing this guy. And then we see him for the first time. Because let's face it, most people, it's the first time they ever saw Arch Manning play college. He'd only started two games before that. And then he'd come in and, you know, did some running plays, some gimmick plays other than that. And everybody saw the same thing. He was terrible. You know, he was totally confused. Then he was sidearming everything. He was like doing a Mahomes impression. Yet it was way off, was nowhere near. And it's, you know, it doesn't doom his career. Like, come on. I mean, we could go back, look at bad games that
Patrick
Mahomes had. What
is up with the sidearm stuff? That was weird.
Made no sense to me.
But that was it.
Then when I saw all of that, I'm like, man, the Shador fans do realize Arch is getting crucified.
Yeah.
Like, were they not seeing that? He was getting crushed by everybody.
But I think that they wanted to add to it because they've seen their guys getting crucified here.
They
on these
wanted
last...
him to be written off for his career. They got silly that.
I look at him. Let me just give you their perspective first, or what I believe is their perspective before I go to the phones here. You know, you and I have said, you guys bring up, well, you guys don't know nothing about anything until you see the Shador fans. I go, guys, we had Odell Beckham Jr. here. We had Johnny Manziel here. We had Baker Mayfield here. we got death threats from people in Oklahoma for crying out loud. Like there was a lot of people who did not.
And it was always, my residency here.
I mean, there were people who wished death on us and the Browns and everything over Baker Mayfield. All right. So when I like make the jokes like it ain't my first rodeo, it ain't. This is my fourth. But I think that there's you got to look at it through their eyes and go, hey, man, as much as I'm saying you just jumped into this whole Browns foray, you've kind of just jumped into the whole Sanders foray because they've been arguing for him for 4 years.
And by the way, we've been arguing with them.
But they don't pay attention because right. we were one of 32 teams that could have taken him and we ended up being the team that that took him. So now it's real with us. But before it's like, yeah, I like Shador Sanders, but that's all you would say. And then that was it. But they have been having knockdown dragouts on their social medias for 4 years and on their radio shows for 4 years. Chad in Connecticut, he's listening on the Free Odyssey app. Hello, Chad.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Morning. Doing well, Chad. Go ahead.
All right. So I just want to say I'm new here. I'm a Shador fan. I watch a lot of football. Never in my life watched one single Cleveland Browns game. I'm just going to let you know that right now. All right. So let me just give you a synopsis of why the people that are rooting for Shador and like Shador are so passionate as we are. All right. So we sit here and we have Arch being put on a pedestal for playing against UTEP and I think Louisiana Monroe. And everybody's just saying he's the next coming, the front runner for Heisman, first round draft pick. Hasn't done anything, right? Just because his last name is Manning. Mm-hmm. But then we have Shador, who played at Jackson State, even though it's, you know, under the level of the D1 that we're playing now. He played there, was able to show something similar to what Cam Ward did when JUCO came up, did really good at Washington State. Goes to Colorado. Colorado was must see TV every single week. Didn't matter if they got blown out by Oregon by 50 points. Or was in one possession games versus every other ranked team that they played that season. Against Caleb, I saw him play against Caleb, and I saw Shador outplay Caleb in that USC game. We saw it. So we all are looking at it and saying, hey, we saw the talent. We know that Colorado wasn't good. We know what they were dealing with, but we saw a star in Shador. We saw him with Travis, without Travis. We saw him lead that team. We all gone through footage, gone through these games, see him reading defenses, calling audibles at the line, changing protection. We're hearing his teammates saying, like, hey, we didn't know the play, but Shador is the person that's telling us the plays. He's telling us our routes. He's telling us our protections at the line. So when we hear these things and then we get to, you know, the draft and it's Shador's not good on the whiteboard. Shador doesn't know how to read defense. He doesn't know how to get in and out of huddles. He doesn't know how to set protections. We're just like, wait, we heard this from his teammates that he does this. I've seen it. So now we go through the draft, and for some reason, the New York Giants comes out and say, Shador was horrible at the whiteboard, blah, blah, blah. Now, that could have just been them signaling to their fans, like, yo, we're not going to draft Shador, and we're going to give you a reason why we're not going to draft Shador, just so we can draft Jackson Dart and you guys don't kill us. But what that does is that railroads Shador's draft stock. So now we have all these other teams or other people believing they hear.
You think one team can do that? You don't think most teams are used to having other GM signal stuff like that for whatever reason? You don't think they do their own scouting, their own investigation?
In this situation.
Like, why are they taking the Giants' word for it?
Because in this situation, you have somebody so polarizing and such a different type of quarterback and has such a different type of fan base and quote unquote aura and all these other things where it's kind of like, okay, he's a good quarterback. We see it, but he's a lot larger than life. Like if we draft him, he's going to be our most famous, our most loved, our most most like wanted player. So if we draft him and it doesn't go well, or we want to sit him or whatever, like any type of situation is going to be a lot. So they're just like, If there's any way or any other reason that we might not want to draft him other than that, they're going to go with it. So then, and on top of that, whatever issues the NFL or people have with Deion, which I don't really understand, but it's a thing, that just adds on to it. So just like whatever reason, we'll take the reason.
Chad,
given the reason.
Chad, thank you very much for the call. Do you accept that tone?
Well, I agree with most of what he said. I do think there were people out to portray him a certain way.
So then
they didn't like the way he celebrated, which is so silly. They all celebrate touchdown. Like what? Me and you were constantly saying, "All right, just admit you don't like Deion or whatever." Like that makes no sense to me. I genuinely like the dude. Like the guy is. I just don't like his fans. Like not that fan doesn't sound like a guy who's calling me a KKK member. Like that fan gave a really reasoned, you know, breakdown of why he feels like his guy is, you know, getting shade. But that's also not the guy that I'm talking to. That's not the guy I'm talking about at all.
But I think that's a normal guy that's going to call in that probably isn't going to start tweeting you crazy. I don't know what was said to you on social media over the weekend. This
is what's being said to everybody. It's not
just
me.
Very surprising to me.
I'm not going, woe is me. Like I saw them going after Albert Breer. I saw them. They're going after everybody. They're going after everybody because they feel like, okay, Arch had hype. Therefore, why are you tearing Shador down and not tearing Arch down, even though I don't think I've ever seen a guy get torn down the way Arch just got torn down over the last 4 days?
I'm going to ask John.
I don't think I've ever seen it.